I'm Eric Harley. We're at the ATA show, the ATA MCE 2018 in beautiful Austin, Texas. And right now, joining us from Big Road, we have Nader Balata. He is the Vice President of Product for
Hello.
Big Road. Nader, how are you?
Good. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for being here. Next to you, Mark Moncion. He is the Head of Safety, Compliance, and Regulatory Affairs. So he has just a few things to do. Mark, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Thank you very much. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
We're doing well, and thank you for spending some time with us. Tell us about Big Road. Mark, tell us about the company and how long you guys have been around.
All right. So Big Road is a fleet complete company, and Big Road specializes on hours of service compliance really throughout North America. As the parent company, Fleet Complete, we're on a mission to bring solutions to any fleet-owning business, small, medium, or large.
Yeah.
We focus on the challenge of our customers that is faced every day, getting access to connected platforms that suit their needs. You know, whether it's a vehicle, mobile workers, cargo, stationary assets, or all of the above, we help you remain connected at all times.
And it's right now, it's all about the app. So let's talk about the app. So, Nader, tell us about the Big Road app.
Yeah, so Big Road Freight, we just launched the version 2 in late September. The best way to describe it is it's a personalized load matching platform for drivers. And so the way it works is that Big Road Freight learns your preferences, such as your preferred lanes, your truck type, and we understand your home location, and we send you loads via email or notification. So a driver doesn't really have to hunt for loads. We just send that for them based on their preferences. We also... So we do leverage the driver's stated preferences as mentioned, but we also use their ELD data. So that is essentially effectively their vehicle data and AI to match them with the best loads.
Okay.
So that's how the app works. Yeah, we understand the driver's preferences. We also understand where they're going based on their ELD, and we try to match them with the best loads.
Well, so that's really the personalized aspect of it, right?
Yes.
Being able to focus on that driver specifically in their operation with the loads?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, we try to tailor everything to every single driver. And, you know, over time, our roadmap will get better and better at doing that.
Sure.
But right now, for our drivers, they found a lot of value in that. But, yeah, we use their preferences, but we also use AI as well.
Yeah. Often drivers are learning an app, but in this case, it looks like the app is kind of learning the driver.
Exactly.
Or the operation.
That's a great way of saying it, Eric. So, there is a challenge of obviously educating drivers and getting adoption from drivers, but
right.
what we've actually said, we've kind of turned around and said, well, let's learn about you. You know,
right.
instead of you, yes, tell us some basic things such as, again, your preferred lanes, what kind of truck type you have.
Right.
But we're also going to use your implicit preferences. That is things that you don't state to us explicitly.
Right.
And based on that, we'll provide you what we think are the best loads.
Right.
And we also use, notification and emails. So, you know, we don't want to change the driver's workflow or process dramatically. We want to improve the experience for them, so we actually send them loads and matches. So every day before 7 a.m., most of our drivers are getting 3 to 5 load recommendations right in their inbox.
Wow. Mark, fill us in. What's the feedback been from in terms of the Big Road Freight app and the drivers out there? What kind of feedback are you guys getting?
You know, I can speak to that if that's okay.
Sure.
So we just, again, as I mentioned, we just launched version 2 in late September, and so far it's been great.
Right.
The most common feedback that we're getting from drivers is seeing the recommendations, seeing loads sent to their email, and not loads that are, you know, most load boards, what they typically will do is they'll take your... Again, you're just your basic preferences, and they'll send you loads based on that.
Right.
We also understand where they are. We understand, you know, where they want to be. And also, again, we have an algorithm that finds them great loads. And so by 7 a.m., most drivers are getting 3 to 5 recommendations. And then in the afternoon, before 12 p.m., before 1 p.m., we're also sending them even more loads for a backhaul.
Wow.
So it's been exciting.
Yeah.
Another thing is that, you know, drivers really like our request the load feature. So it enables a driver to tell us when they'll be empty and where they're going to be. And then we can use that to specifically send them a load.
Yeah.
It's also great because 30% of the time, drivers are spending out of their preferred preferred lanes. So even though a driver's preferred lane can be stated as, you know, whatever it is, whether it's the Midwest, they spend 30% of their time outside of the preferred lanes.
Right.
So if they can tell us when they're going to be in a different part of the a different area than they usually are, we can send them loads.
Sure.
So that's been exciting. And you know, drivers have said, you know, they just want more and more and more. You know, they've said, okay, well, what about this? And in a roadmap, we're going to be shipping the ability to negotiate and the ability to book loads right on the system, and we're going to be doing things for fleet managers as well.
Right. I think all these features really help this app kind of stand out from the other, you know, other products that are out there on the market, wouldn't you say?
I mean, yeah. So most load boards, they're really just asking you very basic questions and then providing you loads based on that. But again, using an algorithm, understanding your implicit preferences and your non-stated preferences, we can provide the, you know, great load recommendations. And that's what we're trying to, that's our goal over time. Our drivers have been very, very positive with their feedback so far.
Right. And in terms of, you know, Big Road Freight, and hours of service, what is the connection there? What would drivers need to know?
Yeah, so Big Road Freight does account for a driver's hours of service. So if they're off duty, we sometimes won't send you a load recommendation for a time when you are going to be off duty. What we found with drivers is that drivers that said, hey, you know what, send us the loads anyways, and then we can negotiate, we can figure that out with a broker or shipper.
Right.
So actually, even though a driver may be off duty, you know, they can easily call a broker or shipper and say, hey, can we move this to Wednesday? So it's easy to, they're very flexible about shifting the pickup times. But we definitely account for their hours of service as well.
Right. What observations have you folks made about the industry since the ELD mandate hit in December? I mean, from that point on, Mark, and you know, bringing us up to date here in October of 2018, late October of 2018, what observations have you guys made on the ELDs?
So, yeah, I've been in the industry for almost 30 years now, and without a doubt, the ELD rulemaking, with the exception of deregulation of the trucking industry in the early 1990s, has been probably the most significant policy shift impacting the trucking industry. So as you can appreciate, there was a fair bit of trepidation. There was some fear and anxiety at the driver level. Big Brother is out watching us, and we're not going to be able to haul to the same degree that we have been in the past. But I found a lot of progressive carriers adopted ELD, and more specifically AOBRD, which is automatic onboard recording devices, well in advance of the mandate. So you didn't see like really much of a difference for those carriers. It's really the number of carriers that waited till the last minute to adopt ELD.
Okay.
As you know, there was a grandfathering provision, and a lot of carriers got on board with the grandfathering provisions. Some waited till the very last minute. And as you can appreciate, that resulted in a fairly significant scramble, getting the devices deployed, getting the drivers trained, getting the frontline staff trained. So it caused a fair bit of challenges for not only the motor carriers, but also ELD vendors such as Fleet Complete, Big Road. I recall I was in the office, you know, a few days prior to the mandate coming into force, and quite literally we were burning the midnight oil trying to get all of these carriers on board.
Wow.
And you can appreciate drivers needed to be trained as well, and also the enforcement community. So being a former DOT inspector, I can appreciate stopping a vehicle with now 300 new different types of devices, all different shapes and sizes, drivers being asked, are you operating under AOBRD or ELD? You got some deer in the headlight looks with drivers not knowing what it is. Mm-hmm. So essentially what happened was FMCSA extended the deadline. They noticed that, you know, all of the industry were not perhaps as prepared as they should be.
Right.
So there was an extension till April 1st, 2018.
Right.
There was also at that time a very significant policy shift with respect to AOBRD and ELD deployment. So what you were seeing was, prior to this policy shift, you had motor carriers managing a fleet of drivers and vehicles, some under AOBRD, some under ELD. So the government was very wise to allow a policy shift that said, as long as you had AOBRD deployed before the phase-in of December 2018, you could continue with AOBRD thereafter.
Hmm.
The other thing I found is you had a whole bunch of new vendors enter the marketplace. We had established ELD vendors such as Fleet Complete, and all of a sudden you had 300, 400 new ELD vendors show up of all shapes and sizes.
Right,
and
right.
All wanting to get a piece of this pie.
Yeah.
And I could appreciate for some carriers who didn't do their own due diligence because the key point was the output file, which is essentially the log that the driver would have to surrender at roadside.
Yeah.
If the output file did not comply with the ELD requirements, drivers were cited, drivers were placed out of service, it affected the carrier's CSA scores.
Right.
And there was a lot of confusion. And add to that is the fact that a whole host of carriers put in requests through FMCSA for specific exemptions. You know, you could probably understand the aggregate haulers, livestock, there's an exemption there.
Right.
American Pyrotechnics Association, the Motion Picture Association.
Mm.
You have asphalt haulers, and there's going to likely be more petitions to FMCSA for exemptions. So
wow.
You can have a driver, and imagine the challenge. A driver could be operating under an exemption today with a specific vehicle, and the next day they could be hauling something quite different where they're fully regulated. So it adds confusion for not only the driver, but also the motor carrier.
Sure.
The last point, which was very challenging, was the fact that ELD vendors were allowed to self-certify.
Mm.
So this is where you had so many entrants entering the marketplace.
A lot of startups. Yeah.
And then motor carriers unfortunately found after the fact that they had partnered with a non-compliant ELD vendor. Mm. So you can appreciate having the scramble to find a certified ELD vendor, much like Big Road, to comply. But there were a number of other observations, but I'm just sort of tipping the iceberg there.
Wow. Well, it's and here we are. We're still inside of our first year.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you go back to April 1, we're still just a few months into the compliance or enforcement stage of it.
Yep.
Exactly.
So it becomes extremely, and you know, like you mentioned, lots of operations were already out there with, let's just say, electronic logging in some form. So there wasn't so much. They were kind of ahead of the curve. But now we have this playing the catch-up game and so many variables being played out, you know, in many different directions, as you point out, Mark. So now, I guess, get us caught up on the specifics of hours of service reform by the FMCSA. What are we looking at here, I guess, and what should we expect on hours of service? Because I go back years to the first time that it had changed in decades, and I remember that educational process then, and then, of course, it's changed. A number of things have changed since then. Where are we in 2018, and what should we expect on hours of service?
Sure. So as you can appreciate, with the ELD mandate, the opportunity for being creative with logs have been greatly mitigated. So that being said, a lot of drivers were subject to violations because, you know, the ELD is simply going to prescribe what the driver is doing in that time in question. So what evolved afterwards was the motor carrier industry petitioning FMCSA to have some relief with the regulations. Mm. And FMCSA has recognized that the current regulations have perhaps not met with the times. Mm. So there's some specific reforms that are being targeted. The first one is with respect to the short haul limits. So a driver operating within 100 air mile radius still has to comply with the rulemaking, but provided they return to their principal place of business within 12 hours, they are actually exempt from surrendering of a log at roadside.
Okay.
So that is one exemption that's being considered.
Okay.
The second is the hours of service exception to adverse road conditions.
Right.
We have seen a spike this year with hurricanes, unseasonable weather, adverse conditions where drivers are kind of stuck in the middle of nowhere with looking for a place to stay. So within the regulation, it allows 2 extra hours of driving time, provided it wasn't something the driver could anticipate at the time that he or she was dispatched.
Right, right.
So FMCSA, in their wisdom, have amended the personal conveyance rules, and that has partially helped the carrier industry to get to a safe location. But they are now looking at the whole concept of adverse driving to reform that.
Mm-hmm.
The next, and this is one that's caused trepidation for a number of years, is the 30-minute rest requirement that a driver has to take by the eighth hour.
Right.
As you can appreciate, as a former truck driver as well, prior to becoming a DOT inspector, I used to drive trucks.
You've been on both sides of that door.
I've been on several sides of the door. There's nothing that caused me more frustration than the time clock ticking out at 8 hours and saying, you have to stop for half an hour.
Yeah.
Tired, not tired, within an hour of your location to load.
Right.
You have to take a 30-minute stop.
Right.
So this is another exemption that is being considered. The next is more flexible sleeper berth rules.
Oh, good.
So what we currently have is the short break, long break, short break, which is essentially the 282 rule.
Right.
FMCSA is looking to provide more flexibility to sleeper berth because, again, we all appreciate drivers needing rest, and drivers should be able to stop when they're tired.
Sure.
Not when a clock ticks off and says you must stop.
Now, would that, if is part of what's being considered there, that they would be able to stop the driving clock and the on-duty clock maybe for longer periods of time, like that, they used to be able to do?
That is definitely being considered, and also what is being considered is the ability to have more flexibility with the sleeper berth period. So a 4-4 split.
Right.
A 3-5 split.
Right.
As opposed to...
And this could help teams tremendously again. You know, because, you know, getting back to the team operations, it became something where now teams were essentially had to go to these longer drive periods where back in the day they could have done 5-5 or something and kept the truck rolling.
Exactly. So at the very highest level, providing additional flexibility to allow a driver, a motor carrier, to service their segment of the industry. Because as you can appreciate with ELD, there is a capacity crunch. There is what you're looking at, wanting to keep and attract and retain drivers. Mm. And this is how, by regulation, we are going to help the industry out.
Yeah, yeah. So certainly, what should we expect in the timeline? Obviously, some of these things are being considered, the public hearing phase, and then you go on to the rulemaking phase. Do we have a timeline? I know it's hard to put a timeline on FMCSA. They're good about putting a clock on the trucking industry, but it's hard to put a clock on something like that. But I guess we could say that we should know something in the coming months.
I can't comment on the timelines, but that being said, as you can appreciate, the heightened sense of the profile with respect to hours of service with ELD, FMCSA has never been flooded with so many comments.
Okay.
So now it's a matter of
deciphering. That's good news. That's good news, by the way.
It's deciphering all of the comments, and you have some motor carriers, some drivers that are saying, notwithstanding what's being proposed in terms of the listening sessions, I have additional comments that I want to provide.
Yeah.
Maximum drive times, maximum on-duty times, using different other privileges that we have. Once we're talking about reforms, let's open the regulation right up and make it meet the needs of the industry. So I wish I could provide a timeline, but
sure. Yeah, I know that it's impossible. Mm-hmm. It's an impossible question to answer. But certainly, what's encouraging here is, and I go back to some of the changes after the initial change back early in the early 2000s, when they went to subsequent changes. Often, what was discouraging was the lack of feedback and input, and now we're seeing quite the opposite.
Exactly. So it's being much more collaborative in nature. FMCSA has gone outside their normal parameters to have these very in-depth listening sessions. My hope is that they will take all of the comments and really engage the industry from the ground floor right up to the American Trucking Association to have a regulation that will meet the needs of the industry. ELD has not changed the regulation, so let's be clear on that.
Yeah.
It is the regulations that need to be fixed, not the ELD rulemaking.
Mark, along with hours of service, I understand that they're looking at some reform in terms of CSA. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, absolutely. That is something that's fairly hot off the press. So CSA, or the Compliance Safety and Accountability Program, is another program that is being looked at by FMCSA. As you likely know, CSA is a data-driven enforcement program. It's based on 7 major basics, and the basics stand for behavioral analysis and safety improvement categories. There are seven categories. The first is unsafe driving. There's crash indicators. There's hours of service, which
right.
essentially is sleep and fatigue.
Right.
There's the drug and alcohol program, hazmat, vehicle maintenance, and driver and qualifications. So what happens at roadside, and again, I can speak to it as a former DOT inspector, a carrier safety performance is managed by specific activities. They are moving violations, accidents, and inspections. And each carrier, based on their profile, have a threshold where various remedial measures will happen. There could be a warning letter, there could be an interview, there could be an audit, and ultimately, there can be sanctions. So this is a public record. Everyone can see it, everything from your clients, your customers, the industry, your own drivers. So what FMCSA is trying to do is simplify the system. They want greater quality of the data to score their carriers. They want it to be more easy for carriers to understand and calculate their scores. They're looking at an absolute scoring system instead of what's currently taking place, where you have carriers that are being monitored in comparison with carriers of same fleet sizes.
Mm.
So instead of doing that, they're going to look at carriers uniquely based on their own performance.
Okay.
They want to use more accurate mileage data and crash statistics. And ultimately, they want to develop a web page for all the motor carriers so they can understand in very simple terms what their dashboard is, what their scorecard is, where they are on the compliance screen.
Sure.
So ultimately, they want the system, as they reform it, to be more fair, more accurate, and easier to assess the carrier's safety performance. So more transparency and more openness. And that, in a nutshell, is what FMCSA is planning on doing.
Right. I understand that, you know, with CSA, those peer groups sometimes, we heard some of the feedback, where those peer groups, it seemed like it wasn't, you know, it was, the feedback was, it wasn't a real peer group if you didn't get into the real numbers of what that operation was doing. So it sounds like at least the FMCSA heard.
Yeah, it's exactly that. So you can have a fleet of 1,000 vehicles, and this carrier could be an over-the-road, long-haul, very, very simple operation, drop-and-hook operations.
Right.
And you can have another 1,000 fleet operation where they're doing city driving.
Right,
They're interacting with the motoring public. They're hitting things. They're rear-ending vehicles.
Changes the numbers completely.
It does. So I think FMCSA has listened to the industry. And again, engaging the stakeholders from the ground level up to the major carriers to get a fair, equitable, and transparent system would be the goal going forward.
Sure, sure. Great stuff here, Mark. And Nader, if they want to learn more about Big Road and being compliant, obviously you guys have so much invested in this. Where can they go?
Yeah, they can go to bigroad.com. If you right on the homepage, we have a lot of information about that.
Okay.
For drivers who are already Big Road customers, they can most of them will see the freight button. They can tap that and answer a couple questions, and
sure.
They're good to go.
Yeah, great stuff, guys. A wealth of information. Thank you to Big Road for sharing you guys with us. We know it's a busy show, but a wealth of information for the drivers. So valuable. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Nader. And I want you guys to come back soon, please.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Eric. We're happy to be here.
Thank you very much for your time, Eric. Greatly appreciated.